Nguyen.
I serve as an elder here at the Ypsilanti Church of Christ. We are here today to celebrate the life and the homegoing of our sister Kimberly Smith, a spiritual woman, a woman who loved God, a woman who loved her family. Our order of worship will be as follows. We'll have a congregational song, scripture reading by Rashad Johnson, opening prayer, Rashad Johnson, remarks, family and friends, and we are asking that you limit your remarks, please, to 2 minutes or under. Reading of obituary, Cecily Lang, song, Laura O'Neill. I'll bring the eulogy and the closing prayer, and we'll have a closing song. Our song leader today is Brother Henry Davis, Jr. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Father, we're thankful for our loved one who has gone on, for the time that she had here on earth, for the hearts and the lives that she has touched, and for the precious memories that now fill our hearts. And Father, we're praying that you would surround this family with your love, your comfort, and your strength. Father, we're praying that you would help us to remember we can always lean on you. As we're leaning on the everlasting arm, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, church. If you'd like to follow along, you can turn to our blue hymn books in front of you, to hymn number 635, 635. We'll sing all four verses of this hymn, 635. Let us sing. Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. But Father alone will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. But cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand dead all by and by. And when death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? But Father will know all about it. Father alone will understand why. But cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. 'Cause faithful till death said our loving Master, a few more days to labor and wait, 'cause toils of the road will then seem as nothing when we sweep through that beautiful gate, and Father alone will know all about it, and Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brothers, live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. And when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion, and we'll understand it all by and by. So Father alone will know all about it, and Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brothers and sisters, and live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by. So Father alone will know all about it, and Father alone will understand why. So cheer up, my brothers and sisters, and live in the sunshine, and we'll understand it all by and by.
The service this morning is being streamed, and it will be on YouTube after 2:30 today. We'll move on with our program. Now we will have our scripture reading, Rashad Johnson. Thank you.
Good morning, family, friends. God bless you all. Scripture reading this morning, which was resting on my heart, is coming from the book of Isaiah in the 61st chapter. And the third verse was the key point. And it reads, it says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Before I go to God in prayer, I just want to share something with you. Some years ago, I was in this same place. My own grandfather, we were laying to rest. And we say some things, and it sounds cliche, but I'm sure that if I say this key phrase, I say that all the time, God is good. And all the time, God is good. I may not have said it quite right, but you know it when you hear it. And surely in that scripture, in that third verse of the 61st chapter, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sometimes when our mind's not able to comprehend the grief that we endure, if we can reflect on God in a way that we understand that He is good at all times, and then we can find something to praise Him about. And oftentimes it's the memories that we have of our loved ones, and then even being able to see God in those very moments. It can bring joy in times of sorrow. Let us go to God in prayer at this time. Heavenly Father, I just humble myself before You, and I thank You, Lord, for just being here at this time, being such a loving and awesome God that You care about every single soul under the sound of my voice. You love each and every one of us more than my mind can comprehend. And so, Lord, while we have breath in our bodies, I ask Lord, that You would help our minds to understand You, to know You better. And even in the deeper things, Lord, where if there be any hardness of hearts under the sound of my voice, any lack of understanding, Lord, I ask that You would touch every heart, Lord, that You would break up the fallow ground, that You would touch minds in a mighty way, even this day. Some that may have walked through this door, let them leave differently than what they've came. Let there be a transformation, a renewing of mind, Lord, a desire to know You, Lord. Because surely no earthly accolades, nothing that we do in this earth will last, but only what we do for Christ will last. So I bless Your holy name, Lord. There's none good like You. And I ask, Lord, that You will continue to have Your way and show Yourself mighty today and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
I want to make a note as family and friends come to make remarks. You can leave the microphone away from you because it's very sensitive today. It'll pick you up at right here. Thank you. So friends and family, if you'd like to come and make remarks, please try to limit them to 2 minutes or less. Thank you.
Morning, everyone.
I want to say to everyone, my condolences to you. Youngest love, and I'm saying I'm sorry for your loss. Thank you.
I'd like to bless the family with a poem that I wrote when I lost my mother in 2010. Because whether at home and even driving, I found myself just crying because it was hard to believe that she was gone. But through it all, I still gave God the glory because such is life. So this poem simply says, sometimes the tears just slip out.
Amen.
Everyone who has suffered a tragedy such as death understands how a personal loss can take away your breath. Is there anything wrong with crying, or do we have biblical evidence who suggests that it's okay to cry when things get too intense? Jesus gave us the answer when his close friend Lazarus died. He saw Mary and Martha and their friends mourning, and he too was overcome, and he cried. His tears tell us that it's okay if tears just slip out. They will become extinct in eternity because that's what heaven is about. When God wipes out the effects of sin, he will wipe out the need for tears. One more reason to look forward to eternity. There's no death, no pain, and no fears. God bless you.
Thank you.
To the pastors who are here today, to the family, to the friends, I came to you just to talk about Kim today. Kim was a beautiful person. She loved everybody. She may have had her ways in life like we all do, but when she came to you, she was always there and ready to have fun. The Bible says absence from the body is the presence with the Lord. Weeping may come for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. I will continue to pray for all of Kim's family, her friends. She was a good person, and she loved each and every one of you. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. The Smith family. I've been knowing Marion, Marsha, that family for many years. Worked together, partied together, enjoyed life. Life is so short. You know, we have to take hold of it with our families. Marion, Marsha, Wyman, you know, I want to say I'm so sorry for your loss. But, Marion, you have been a good brother. You have been a good brother. You've been a good friend. You know, and I thank you for being my friend. I pray for your family. As they say, we could do all things through Christ who strengthened us. We're going to give you all strength today. Just hang on in there. I love you from my family to your family.
First, giving obedience to God who's ahead of my life, to the all the clergy, to the Smith family. I've been knowing the Smith family for many, many years. We grew up together as friends and as family. Kim was a very beautiful person. I remember when growing up, Kim would come over and say, Peggy, will you French braid my hair in, you know, in a nice style so I can look cute? And I was like, yeah, Kim, I'll do it for you. And she was like, and add a whole bunch of beads so when I shake my hair, it would make that noise. And I was like, yeah, Kim. I was like, but why you want that? I don't know. I just want it. And she just had a way about her that would inspire you to want to do things for her. She had a personality that would make you want to be around her. And to the Smith family, you know I love you, and I'm praying for you, and just be encouraged and know that Kim is in a better place and no more pain, no more anguish. And I love you, and I'm continuing to pray for you.
There are no more remarks at this time. We now have the reading of the obituary.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Cecily Langs, and I am one of Kimberly Smith's nieces. Before I read the obituary and some other documents here that was sent for the family, I will make a remark about my aunt. As everyone has came up and said, my aunt was a lot of fun. She was joyful. She was fun to be around. She was a good time. But I would be remiss if I didn't say, on behalf of the nieces, Spoiler, she took joy in wreaking havoc on us, right? Every single time it was something with I, Kim, and she loved it. She loved it. To the point where she come through the door and we have to tell her, okay, not today. All right? Not today, Auntie. Okay? But we loved her for it. That was the relationship we had with her. We do anything for her. And so we are certainly going to miss her. As you all know, within the past, I would say 5 years, as a family, we have suffered unimaginable losses. Now my Aunt Kim, just this past October, my father and my grandmother the year prior to that. So I just ask for your continued prayers for all of us during this significant amount of time of grief. I'll start by condolences on our entire Smith and Johnson family. Uncle Howard and Aunt Melva's family offer our deepest and heartfelt sympathy on the passing of our niece Kimberly Smith. To her beloved brothers, sisters, and other family members, we are praying God's special blessings and strength for each of you. We believe Kimberly is rejoicing in heaven with her mother Mary, her father Jasper, her grandparents Leon and Leola, and so many other loved ones. We know she is at peace. Family, we are sorry we could not be there with you in person to give you a hug or an extra shoulder to lean on during this very difficult time. However, we are sharing in your tears, your grief, and with humble hearts, we are reaching out in love, prayer, comfort, and understanding to let you know you are not alone. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalms 29:11. There is one who knows why you are sad. There's one who cares for you. Just look to him and trust in him, and he will see you through. He knows your loss and sorrow. He hears your prayer above. Each day he freely gives to you the strength of his great love. We love each of you and will always be in your prayers. Uncle and Aunt Howard and Melva Johnson, James and Paula Baker, Timothy Johnson, and Darren and Linda Johnson. Resolution of memorial to the life of Kimberly Smith. We, the membership of Strong Tower Ministries, express our condolences to all the family and friends of Kimberly Smith. We also celebrate with you the life of a woman that God has allowed to be among us for the years she has graced this earth. Kimberly and the Smith family have been pillars in the Willowrun community, and their faithfulness to God and his church has been a blessing to many lives. Whereas our beloved sister will be missed, we acknowledge and accept the will of God and are comforted by the words of Jesus in John, the 14th chapter, that encourages us to let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Therefore, be it resolved and known that Strong Tower Ministries is praying for the Smith family and reminds the family to be encouraged and forever celebrate the love and the life of Kimberly. In the words of the Apostle Paul, thank God for every remembrance of her. Humbly submitted on this 30th day of May 2025, Senior Pastor Michael Rozier, Strong Towers Ministries, Spencer Lane, Ypsilanti, Michigan. And now into the obituary. On a warm summer day in Ypsilanti, Michigan, June 9, 1963, Kimberly Lynn Smith entered this world with a spark that would never go unnoticed. Born to Jasper Lee Smith and Mary Louise Smith, Kimberly was the youngest of her siblings, and from an early age carried herself with a certain flair that let you know she was going to leave her own mark on the world. Growing up in a tight-knit Willow Run community, Kimberly made lifelong friends, shared loud laughs, and built a reputation for both kindness and style. She graduated with pride from Willow Run High School in the class of 1981, always holding her head high, knowing her path would be her own. Like her father before her, Kimberly went on to work for Ford Motor Company, where she built a solid career rooted in loyalty, consistency, and quiet determination. She never needed to shout her accomplishments. They were reflected in her integrity and the way she carried herself. But Kimberly's life was more than work. It was defined by deep relationships, unforgettable moments, and a spirit you couldn't help but admire. In 1991, she became a godmother to Wesley Ruckery, the son of her best friend, Leslie Miner. It was a role she took to heart, pouring her love, wisdom, and sass into Wesley's life, just as she did with her nieces and nephews, whom she adored beyond measure. Kimberly was the kind of woman who made an entrance. Whether it was Sunday service, a family cookout, or just a stroll through the store, people noticed. Maybe it was the outfit, always styled to perfection, or maybe it was the infamous Kimberly walk, a confident rhythmic strut that was uniquely hers. I can do it. I'm telling you, I got it down packed. She just didn't walk into a room. She owned it. She loved to shop, not just for the thrill of the purchase, but because it was a form of expression, each item a reflection of her personality, her moods, her joy. Kimberly's life, though not always easy, was lived in her terms, with humor, strength, and deep love for those closest to her. She was preceded in death by her beloved parents, Jasper and Mary, brothers Lothario Michael Smith, Daryl Alfonso Smith, as well as her twin brother, Kevin Smith. While her physical presence has left this earth, she leaves behind a legacy of fierce loyalty, unforgettable style, and unwavering love. She is survived by her sister, Marcia Victor Davis, Marion Smith, and Wyman Melissa Smith, a host of nieces, nephews, extended family, and dear friends who will carry her memory forward with pride. Her absence is deeply felt, but her presence is eternal in the stories and in the laughter. Kimberly Lynn Smith was one of a kind, and she will be truly missed. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I first want to offer my condolences to the family. When you sit on this front row, that's a different kind of pain. So my heart is truly with all of you. I hope this song will give you some type of healing, that it'll be delivered in the way God chose for me to deliver it. I love you guys. Lord, please my hand. Oh, Lord, please hold my hand. I can't make this journey all by myself. I need your help. This I know, Lord, please be my guide. Always walk by my side, and if you only hold my hand, I'll make it home someday. Lord, please hold my hand. Oh, Lord, please hold my hand, 'cause I can't make this journey all by myself. I need your help, this I know. Lord, please, oh please, be my guide. Always walk by my side. And if you only hold my hand, I'll make it home someday. Oh, someday. Oh, someday. Oh, someday, Lord, someday I'll make it home someday, Lord, someday, oh, someday, Lord, someday. I'm gonna see Jesus someday. I'll make it home someday.
So we are here today to pay our respects to the bereaved family and to our sister Kimberly Smith. Her journey here on earth has come to an end. I cannot preach her funeral. We preach our own funeral every day that we live. So my objective today is to speak to those who remain in the land of the living. If we want to become the men, the women, the boys and girls that God is calling on in this generation, we must lift up our heads. We must study His Word. We must obey His will. So as we have come to remember the life of a sister, an aunt, a cousin, a sister-in-law, a godmother, a child of God. But those facts can never sum up a life well lived. But we can take comfort today because Sister Kim not only talked with the Lord, she's now taken the next step in being in the presence of the Lord. As Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Today we say goodbye to our sister Kim. She has gone from labor to reward. One of the hardest things to do is not talking to someone you're used to talking to every day. Grief never ends, but it changes. It is a passage, not a place to stay. Grief is not a sign of weakness nor a lack of faith. It is the price of love. The price of love. God sees your grief. and he will bring comfort. Psalms chapter 147, verse 3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. You know, God has poured so many gifts and resources into our lives to help us in times like this. So if we don't use these gifts and these resources that God has poured into our lives, we're going to come up limited. One way we can use these gifts is by living the Christian life. Sister Kim lived that Christian life when she was baptized on April the 23rd, 1972. She gave her life to Christ on that day. As she chose to live the Christian life, we've got to remember there's no better life than the Christian life. It may come with some difficulties. It may have some obstacles, some hurdles, and some barriers. But there's still no better life than the Christian life. There's no other life you can live. Well, you can call on the high God of heaven, and he pauses his busy work just to hear our feeble cry. There's no other life you can live where you can have Jesus on the right hand of God pleading our case day in and day out. No other life you can live. You can have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit where it comforts us in times like this. So if we don't use these gifts, these resources that God has poured into our lives, we will be limited. You know, when death comes, death brings the rich, the poor, the high and the low, the good and the bad, the wise and the foolish, all on common ground. We're all brought on the same level. You can be poor, without a penny to your name. But if you know the Lord and you put God first in your life, you are somebody. You know, doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter what you drive, doesn't matter what's in the bank. If you know God, put him first, you are somebody. So many people come and they say, you know, Brother Gil, I would come back to church, but I've been so bad. I've done so many things that there's no way in the world God could forgive me for what I've done. You know, when I hear that, I think about the Apostle Paul. What he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9, he says, "Know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." But listen to what he says next. "And such were some of you." He goes on to say, "But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God." So there's nothing you can do that God cannot forgive you for. That shows that no matter what you were, God can still use you. What did Paul say? He said, "I was a sinner. I was lost. I was blind. But now, I can see." That's a "but now" experience, am I right? God is great. You know, at a time like this, one of the most comforting thoughts that we can have is that the end of this life is not the end of life. Man is a twofold being. According to Genesis chapter 2, and the verse is 7, man's body is mortal, but his soul shall exist forever. Romans 6:12. So physical death is the separation of the body from the spirit. The spirit lives on. The body will be raised and glorified, John 5, 28 and 29. So it's not for us to question the possibility of the resurrection of our bodies. The God who formed our bodies and gave them life on this earth can raise our bodies from any condition in death. We shall be judged, 2 Corinthians 5:10. The standard of judgment will be the Word of God. This shows the importance of being prepared. We hear people talk about being prepared. We prepare by obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, to a Christian, death is only part of the transition from this earth life to eternal life. I wonder, what would Jesus say on such an occasion as this one? Well, let's know what he did say on a similar occasion. It was the time of his going away, the setting here. Few of his friends were gathered about him. They were his loyal apostles. Tears were flowing. They were crying because Jesus, their master, had told them he was about to leave them. These were the coldest words they had ever heard him say. We cannot imagine how troubled they were when they heard Jesus tell them that he was about to die. He had been more than a brother and a friend. His whole life had been their ideal of goodness. Now he was about to be taken away from them. They were going to be left alone. They were going to have to meet the persecutions and the trials of life by themselves. They needed to hear those comforting words of Jesus. As he spoke, he said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Those are comforting words. The Proverbs writer said in Proverbs chapters 3, "Trust in the Lord with all thine soul and with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways," not some of them, "but all of thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." You know, we need God to direct our steps. We think we've got it all figured out with all of the texting and the emailing that we do and all of the planning. And we turn around, we still make mistakes. We find ourselves going left when we ought to be going right, going down when we ought to be going up. We read in the Bible about a man by the name of David. David was a man after God's own heart. The Bible says that David was the chosen king of Israel. The Bible says Saul killed 1,000, but David killed 10,000. But David realized he needed God to order his steps. That's why David said in Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." What are you saying, David? He's saying, "I need someone to order my steps." He said, "I need someone to lead me along the way, somebody to order my steps." David said, "He leadeth me beside the still water." What is he doing, David? He's ordering my steps. You know, when you face death, you don't have to worry if you're a child of God. Somebody here has been at the point of death, or you know someone who has been at the point of death. And those doctors walk out of the room scratching their head, looking down, shaking their head, said, "Nothing we can do." But I got news for you. God is still in control. God can look down, touch that person. "I'm still ordering his steps. God is mighty." Let me share something with you. Sometimes God would put us through some strange things so that we can have an opportunity to get to know Him. We got to know God for ourselves. We've got to. And when you make it through all those storms of life, and you look back over and you say, I thought I knew God in the past, but now, I can hear Job when he was praying, and he was just thankful for everything that he had in the night, in the middle of the night. Everything he had was gone. That's why we can't get comfortable with this material things. We can't get comfortable with these worldly things because you can lose everything. Job said, I lost everything. I went down to nothing. He said, my wife turned her back on me. My friends who I thought were with me, they ended up leaving me, blaming me for what was going on. So I even had to question God. Why am I going through all of this, God? We got to realize, you know, we've got to realize sometimes bad things happen to good people. So don't let your faith be shaken. Don't lose hope. Job, at the end of that chapter, he said, at first, I'd only heard about the Lord, but now that I've been through all of this, I know the Lord will make a way. He'll make a way for all of us. You know, when you go through bad health, when you go through sickness, when you go through financial difficulties, when you go through marital problems, you know, children and things are just not working out, God is still in control. When you're feeling burdened down and you don't know if you're going to make it, you don't know how things are going to work out, turn it over to the Lord. Learn how to be like old Job. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's a testimony if I ever heard one. Yes. Job, man of God, recognize that God is able. We might not be able, but God is able. Some people say, well, I just can't make it. I can't go any further. Yes, you can. If God is by your side, you can go all the way. We don't know what's going to happen down the road, but we trust God. He said, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and that you may have tribulations 10 days. I'm glad he put a number on it, but actually that 10 days just means it's not going to last forever. Got to have faith. You know? So don't say, I just can't go any further. I hear people this morning say, I'm getting to the end of my point. No, you're not. Well, Brother Baldwin, I just don't know how much I can bear. God knows. Some say they can't go any further. Some people give up too soon. You give up the first day. Stay with God. He'll take you to the end. Revelation 2:10, he says, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. So while we're trying to figure things out, God's already got it figured out. He's able. He doesn't take the load from you, but he will get under there and help you with it. He gets under there. He says, I will help you. Don't be afraid to try. You got to be faithful. You got to hang in there. You got to hang in there when you don't want to hang in there. You got to come on out to worship service when you don't want to come out to worship service. And stop worrying about what you cannot control. Can't worry. I'm going to tell you a little bit about worry. Worry cannot change the past, nor control the future. The only thing worry can do is just make today miserable. Worry never solved the problem. Worry has never answered a question. Worry has never dried a tear. Worry has never lifted a burden. Worry has never done anything positive. I tell you, worry will not repair anything that is broken. Worry will not mend anything that is torn. You know, sometimes you think worry is like sitting in a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere, right? Worry will help nothing. You know, I appreciate this family. I appreciate your working together. looking out for one another, taking care. God looks down on this family as well. God knows your heart. To the family and to all the friends who are here, God is able. He's able to wipe the tears from your eyes. He's able to bring comfort to you during this time of bereavement. Put your trust in the Lord. As we close this service, would you bow with me for prayer? Father in heaven, we pray that you would let your Holy Spirit come down right now.
It is,
man. We pray, Father, you would touch this family, surround them with your love, your comfort, and your strength. Let them know that you are still their Father. We pray, Father, that you would be with them. And we know that you are, Father, you are concerned about us. You love our souls. You love the souls of men, women, boys, and girls, and you want our souls to come back to you once we depart this life. Guide us, Father. You know our needs and you know our desires because you created us. Father, when it is yours to call and ours to answer, help us, Father, to have lived such a life that we can hear those welcome words. Well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter the joys of heaven. And now, Father, we commit our sister Kimberly Smith into thy hands, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Would you all please stand and sing hymn number 807, 807. Let us sing. Some glad morning when his life is over, I'll fly away to a land where there's a celestial shore. I'll fly away. You know that I'll fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away. Say now when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of the life have grown out, I'll fly away. Like a bird who brings his heart to home, I'll fly away. Now you know that I'll fly away. Glory, I'll fly away. I sing when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. Now you know that I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. I say now when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Now you know that I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. I say now when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Amen. The family would like for everyone to stay around for a meal after service. And thank you for being here. Goodbye.